3 months ago at the BizNews conference in Hermanus, BNC 6, Rob Herzog tore up his speech as he walked on there. Had a from-the-heart discussion, and at the end of it, resigned from politics. Well, I said he wouldn't be out of the fray forever, and we've seen him gracing the screens of Bloomberg and other international broadcasters. Can't keep a good man down, and we have him back on BizNews TV today. Yeah, Rob, I suppose you are participating in a pivotal moment in South Africa's history. It really is. And I've had a couple of fascinating discussions over the last few days, including Frans Grenier, who spoke about A Road to Prosperity or the Chernobyl option, and then John Endres, who's at the Institute of Race Relations, who said since 1929 that they've been calling truth to power in South Africa. This is a moment. We've had many suggestions of pivotal moments, but this is a true one. This is a very, very big one. How are you reading the situation as we look at it now in the aftermath of the ANC basically imploding down to 40% of the vote?
So the way I look at it is the following. The fact that the ANC is falling apart, splintering, has been seen well in advance, but not to this extent. The ANC shed the EFF a while back, and the ANC has shed MK now. And it may splinter further, because I actually think the ANC as it stands today at just under 41% is not the final iteration. And I think you'll see a further schism if the ANC team up with the likes of the EFF, MK, or others. You'll have the moderates who'll migrate away. Or if the DA and ANC tie up, I think the ANC will then drop to around 30%. And how does that happen? Well, MPs in Parliament have tended to vote with the party, with the colours. But there could be a case going forward where, of the 40% of the ANC, 10% will say, well, we don't want to be with the DA, and we're going to vote against the DA. And what happens there? So this is just the beginning. Now, in a positive sense, democracy is working. Another positive sense is that the 41% ANC seems to be sticking to the constitution and the rule of law, or at least the rule of governance, which is very positive. Another way to look at it, though, is, you have three parties, the ANC, MK, and EFF, which are spouting socialist and left-wing nonsense, which is very worrying because that's 64% of the vote that still believes the government should make decisions, not individuals, that free enterprise is not the way forward. But to me, the most worrying development, the scariest development, is MK. And what I'd like to say up front, in my view, MK is a bigger threat to this country, to stability, to human ingenuity and economic freedom than the EFF. I almost think the EFF are opportunistic and MK are the real threat.
No. I disagree with you from time to time, but this one I really do. The MK, let's leave that on one side, but the EFF has as its role models people like Maduro from Venezuela. They have as its role models people like Vladimir Putin. Remember Malema saying at the FNB stadium, Putin is us and we are Putin. And where does its money come from? If you start applying second level thinking, and I'd love you to share this with us because you have an enormous range of contacts. We have become part of this whole geopolitical battle that's going on in the world. We have to be. When you see MK regalia with Vladimir Putin's face right next door to Jacob Zuma's, when you hear Malema saying Putin is us and we are Putin, and we know that there are troll farms here in South Africa that are run by, it used to be Prigozhin and now is part of the Kremlin operation. This is, to me, the most scary thing. And that's where I would love to get your insights into that. And perhaps that aligns with what you've just said to us now, that you're really worried about MK.
So to me, MK is a bigger threat than the EFF. And here's why. The EFF has been in coalition with the DA in municipalities, has been in coalition with the ANC and others. And the reports that I've had are that they are actually pragmatic. If in a coalition in a municipality, the EFF say they're going to do something, they tend to do it.
Ikurileni?
MK is a wrecking ball. MK.
So I've got to stop you there, Rob. Ikurileni? Come on, they've wrecked that place. They've plundered it to oblivion.
Alec, I'm not saying they're a good. I'm not saying they're a force of good. They're not. But what I am saying is the MK is a bigger threat to stability than the EFF. Both are loonies. The EFF will sell whatever snake oil keeps them in the game. And remember, they are less than 10%. They've stagnated. They've been humiliated. And Julius Malema, deep down, is a capitalist. He owns tons of properties. He's a member of the Ananda Club. His kids go to private schools. He wants to be one of the economic ruling class. Jacob Zuma is like this with Putin. That's where he got his funding from. No, all I'm saying is, in the scale of bad, MK is worse than EFF, in my view. Way worse. And Rob, they have military capability.
You know, you really shook up South Africa at the BizNews BNC 2. And you, at the time, nobody was prepared to listen. And you said, listen, this is, I'll put my neck on the line. And I know you've taken a huge personal cost from it. Is this one of those moments where you're now saying, okay, the rest of you guys think that the EFF is a loony socialist entrepreneurial party that, sure, Malema's rich, but how did he get rich? You know, it's like, ish, follow the dots. And yet you're saying to us, a little bit like maybe what you did in 2021, that there's another side to this picture, or are you saying the lesser of two evils?
I'm saying the EFF is a lesser of two very bad evils. But what does that mean? What does it really mean? Jacob Zuma's money is direct from Putin, direct from Russia. I said this months ago. Obviously, the Guptas will contribute because they, you know, don't want to be pursued into jail where they deserve. So he has access to significant funding. And he wants to disrupt democracy, break the constitution. He doesn't care that this economy collapses, because that's the Soviet playbook. Disrupt the economy, smash the constitution, and they take control that way. MK is way more of a threat. The only positive is Jacob Zuma is an old man. Can MK survive Jacob leaving the planet and heading to the fiery pits of hell? That's the question. And the EFF have got, you know, have been beaten back to 9%. You know, I mean, they will be more pragmatic, more opportunistic. And their talk is snake oil. Whereas Jacob truly believes, with his Soviet Russian backing, in destroying the constitution and the economy and taking control. MK is a way bigger threat.
So if I read you correctly, you're suggesting that the ANC would be better served by doing a deal with the EFF than with the DA?
No. The country will be better served, but the ANC doing a deal with the DA and IFP, that's the combination we hope and pray for. Now, there are many people that are saying that the ANC and DA won't survive in 2029, that combination. But frankly, if we can survive another 5 years, get economic growth going, deliver some results, give a bit of stability, bring in some FDI, the results may serve us so well that, you know, these also-rans like Bosa and Rise Mzansi and Action SA might come to the fore and be the next phase of government from 2029. But we've got to survive the next 5 years, and MK is a serious threat.
What are your international contacts and connections saying about what they're seeing happening in South Africa? And what are you telling them?
Well, I'm telling them if MK and EFF are part of government, head for the hills. You know, they'd be crazy to invest. And I believe that that is the case. We do need some combination of the ANC, DA, and IFP, whether it's a formal coalition, which I think Jacob Zuma would welcome, because if the DA is in a formal coalition, they're not in opposition. Who becomes opposition? MK. And they're going to be super disruptive. So that's one option, is a formal coalition. Yeah. Someone gets president, someone gets vice president, maybe there's an independent president, cabinet ministries get shared up. You know, that's commitment and go for it. The second option, which Franz Grenier and others have been touting, is the separation of executive and legislative through a confidence and supply arrangement. That too is the best solution we can look at. Formal coalition, all that. To me, it's much of a muchness, either or. But I mean, that's where we have to be going. That's where I pray we can go. My only worry is that ANC-DA tie-up means the ANC will lose further support. And I know it won't happen because the election's over. But I think you'll have a number of ANC MPs who won't go with that. You won't want to vote with those matters. But as long as they can get the 51 to defend against a no confidence vote, and to ensure that the DA and the multi-party coalition participants, IFP would be definitely one of them, get the positions they require to have the oversight necessary. Those are the only two solutions where we can survive the next 5 years.
Rob, you did a Harvard MBA. And we know that if you studied at Harvard, you have a fantastic group of contacts around the world. You've had top positions internationally and run big international businesses. So all of those contacts, all of the people who have been WhatsApping you and phoning you, what are they saying to you about our country right now?
They've had it with South Africa. I mean, it's just like Looney Tunes down here. The fact that 64% of our, you know, voting population support socialist political parties, 64%, that the sort of hopefuls of Action SA and BOSA didn't really fire, and that the DA did a very good job, a very good showing of staying around 22%. But that's it. You know, it's Looney Tunes down here. Most of my international friends and investors really just are not interested in investing in South Africa. There are too many other good options elsewhere. And why blame them? We have to survive the next 5 years. We've got to muddle through, and the phoenix has got to come out in 2029 and save us. But the next 5 years are crucial.
You've done a lot for your country, but you've also said at times that there would be a tipping point where A, you wouldn't invest in South Africa, and perhaps you have or have not been, and you might be able to help us there, or B, that you'd be on a plane and go somewhere else in the world, which is a little easier. You have a young family, so you do have that responsibility as well. How are you looking at that? What is the tipping point for you here in South Africa to where it's, I've done my bit, no more?
So expropriation without compensation kicking in. Taking away our firearms, disarming the population is a no-go. Okay. Once they disarm us, you know what comes next. And my wife loves it in South Africa, doesn't want to leave. I love it here. I don't want to leave. So there's an interim step. You know, I don't think I'll ever leave. You know, carry me out in a box, frankly. I'm staying. I love it here. I'll stay and fight and do my best. But investing is a different issue. I am not investing anymore in pure South African businesses. I'm looking for businesses that have international potential, or at least the option of having, 80% plus hard currency revenues. I'm not risking any, and I'm not investing outside of the Western Cape. Forget it. I'm not going near KZN Natal. Sorry about that.
You went to school in KZN. I grew up in KZN, so we both have quite
a deep, school there.
Yeah, deep affection for the province. How are you seeing the province's future now that MK has emerged as such a massive force there?
So I think one solution is to somewhat disarm MK by hiving off KZN to MK and IFP. You know, there's talk of secession. I mean, there's always been this Cape exit, Cape exit. But on the day that I was born, 9th of October, 1960, Warren Weekly gave me the cover of the Natal Herald, I think it was called. And it was, Natal pushes to secede from South Africa. So I was born a secessionist. And why shouldn't there be the country of Zululand, the kingdom of Zululand, and hand KZN to MK and IFP and be done with it? And, you know, I feel terribly sorry for anyone that's there, but KZN is a disaster. Durban is falling apart, and it's all down to the Zumaites and the MKs of destroying that province, and it's gone. It's unfixable, in my view. So let's slice it off. Bye-bye. Move on.
And if that happens, surely the pressure for Western Cape secession would be irresistible.
Maybe not, because at that point, you know, MK's hopefully gone with KZN, and the Western province will have way more influence on what's left of South Africa. And I am assuming for that to take place, it's an ANC-DA combination, which will create some stability in the country, you know. And I do think at that point, you know, the Western Cape and the DA will have way more influence than their 22%. So we stand a chance. You know, when there's a turnaround situation in a business, as quickly as possible, you get rid of the management, you slice off the pieces that aren't working, and you have an urgent meeting with the creditors to say, we ain't going to pay you back at all unless you accept our new terms. So I think slicing off MK and KZN, to me, is one of the ways forward.
Rob, many South Africans are confused. They look to people like you for guidance. What would your guidance be for families in this country right now?
So AfriForum, Sakalika's Free Market Foundation have been saying, you know, state-proof yourself, your street, your town, your municipality. And that is absolutely crucial. We have to state-proof ourselves to protect ourselves and our families and our towns and villages against the state. So that's primary. Secondly, I've always said from the day I came back, you know, focus on businesses where you have international exposure. So you're not entirely tied to South Africa. And if your children have the opportunity after matric or after university to go overseas, study and build skills abroad, do it. Now's the time to do it. Because there's going to be less opportunity going forward. And we have to fix the country before it's worth these hundreds of thousands of extraordinary young South Africans abroad considering coming back, or the immense wealth that South Africans have created abroad considering reinvesting. The main South African families, the main 10 billionaire families or 20 billionaire families overseas are not investing back in South Africa. None of them. And there's a reason. They look at South Africa and go, you know, Looney Tunes there.
Well, I guess it also relates to the South African companies who've got 1.5 trillion rand in cash on their balance sheets, which is not being reinvested. So what would spark that? What would change that approach and make South Africa investable again, as against the practical consequence right now of being uninvestable?
So what matters most to South Africans? It's employment, safety and security, and all the basics, okay, which the ANC has been unable to deliver. In some form of partnership with the, you know, the Government of National Unity, the GNU, of the DA, IFP, and others, you, as long as MK is not trying to destabilize and create civil unrest, which I think they will do, it is the Russian playbook. If, as long as we can create that stability, opportunities arise, because there will have to be privatization from a government level of state-owned enterprises, Or privatization by default, which has in some ways happened in the electricity sector, where, you know, the big mining companies didn't really wait for permission to do over 100 megawatts of power. They went and just did it themselves in advance of the ruling coming through. So I think we have to do that. We have to not ask permission and maybe beg forgiveness down the line, just get on with doing what we have to do to survive. So that's the only way forward, is for the new government to deregulate, focus more on private enterprise, encourage investment, and privatize state-owned enterprises, or what's left of them. The Western Cape must get control of its rail services, of its rail network, because it is fixable. Alan Windey and Jordan Hill-Lewis, two fantastic people, fantastic politicians, have a plan in place to revitalize the rail systems in the Western Cape. And if we can do it in the Western Cape, it can be done in other parts of South Africa, but only by private enterprise and forward-thinking governance.
Reading through the lines, it's an exciting time, but a very dangerous time. And if it were to break the right way, this could be the best country in the world still, as Paul O'Sullivan says. But if it breaks the wrong way, maybe not so much the best country in the world. Sum it up for us, Rob, on what you are looking for over the next 14 days and what will be influencing your longer-term decisions thereafter.
So I've always slammed Cyril Ramaphosa, but now we need him. We need him and his allies to stay firm and focus what is right for the country and not, which they've always done, what is right for the ANC. And what is right for the country is to form a partnership, an alliance, a coalition, an agreement with the DA and a number of the multi-party coalition parties, and make the 5 years deliver results, get rungs on the board in the next 5 years, so that in 2029, whoever emerges from the Phoenix can take that forward. We cannot turn into Argentina, where you have 50 years of socialism and complete destruction of the economy, which is where we're headed. So I am worried, nervous. An element of me is cautiously optimistic. My mood changes throughout the day, depending on what people tell me. It's harrowing, but I'd rather live here than New Zealand, where everything's very predictable.
Rob Herzog, business activist, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.